Shasha, the rabbi is here.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. And how are you?
I am good, thank God.
So, we have this Torah portion.
I must tell you that I think that's the parsha that I love the most, because I remember myself as a kid at the Torah lessons, grade 1 or grade 2. I remember how fascinated I was from this parsha.
Yep, absolutely. So isn't there if I remember correctly, there's a song you have on Noah, no?
Oh, I put one and I have another one for the end of the interview.
I remember something. You see, yeah. I'm just trying to remember a little bit.
I have a song for every parsha.
Very nice, very good.
Good.
So we see in this week's Torah portion, Noah, God instructs Noah, the only righteous man in a world consumed by violence and corruption, and he tells him to build a large wooden teva, a wooden ark, and he coated it within and without with pitch, and a great rain will wipe out all the life from the face of the earth, but the ark will float upon the water, sheltering Noah and his family and two members, male and female, of each of the animal species.
Zugot, zugot.
Right, which God took in, which God told Noah to take in. The rain falls for 40 days and 40 nights, and finally it starts to recede, and the ark settles on Mount Ararat, and from its window Noah dispatches a raven, and then a series of doves to see, obviously, if the water...
Hakalu amayim, if the water are done.
Correct, yes. Wow, Ilan, you know, he was...
Yeah,
so
I remember
well.
That, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good. If you read this book, just on a side note, Bereshit, this whole Genesis book of the first book of the Torah is spectacular. It's fascinating. Forget about if you're just even learning it, you know, to actually learn Torah, but it's just even if you're reading the story, the history, the miracles, the whatever it is, it's incredible. And this is really what shapes the foundation of Jews, of our whole life. Now, we see, obviously, Noah builds an altar afterwards, and he offers sacrifices to God. And God swears him that never again to destroy all of mankind, and he sets forth a rainbow. We also see that the descendants of Noah remain a single people with a single language, so on and so forth. Then they defy their creator by building the great tower, and they want to fight against God, and God then confuses their language. One doesn't comprehend what they have, so on and so forth. So it goes into absolute chaos. So really, it's interesting because the concept of building and construction is really what this parsha is all about. Because, as I just said, the parsha discusses not just one construction, but actually two. So the first we know, which was for Noah and his family. They needed refuge from the floods that God was going to bring.
Yeah.
Now, 340 years after the flood happened, another major construction commenced. This time, many of the families of the world were concentrated at that period of time in Babylon, in Iraq, and seeking power and self-aggrandizement, you know, so making themselves all big, they decided to build a tower ascending to heaven, and it's from there they were going to wage war against God. And it became popular, and it is known to us now as the Tower of Babel.
Yeah, Mikvah Babel.
Right, and the constructors were known as a generation of the dispersion due to them later being dispersed over the whole world. Now, interesting to note, unlike Noah's successful construction, which preserved the world and mankind, this one, the Tower of Babel, ended up in failure. So the question is asked, why did Noah succeed while the tower builders, they failed? So, obviously, in brief, because we don't have so much time. But Noah built with God's instruction and for the sake of Hashem. The people of Babylon built the tower on their own initiative and without God's instruction. In fact, it was built against God's will. Because of Noah's construction of the ark, the Torah attests that Noah did according to everything that God commanded him. And he meticulously followed every single detail exactly to the T.
And there were a lot of details there.
Yes, correct. And of the people of the tower builders, the Torah says, and it came to pass in their migrating from the east, and the Midrash says that the word Kedem, which means from the east, can be related to the word Kadmono, the ancient one, God.
Yeah.
Which basically we see that God was not going to allow that they will do such a thing like that. God was the one that preceded all humanity, and we see that that was it. They did not want to accept God. They refused, and God said, well, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to allow you to do it. If I don't give you the permission, it's not going to happen. So there's a Hasidic story that relates a very, very important lesson. There was an impressive-looking person. He once appeared to Rabbi Nachum of Chernobyl. Chernobyl was a city in either Russia or Ukraine.
Russia,
I think, yeah. And offering to teach him the esoteric knowledge. So this rabbi came to him and he says, I'm going to teach you the esoteric knowledge of the Torah. And he replied, before I can agree to accept your offer, I must consult with my rabbi, who was the Magid of Mizrich. He was the Magid, was the teacher.
Yes.
In Mizrich. And the teacher listened attentively and then said, it was very wise of you not to immediately agree to learn from this person, because the person who approached you was from the realm of evil. So it's good that you didn't do it. But incidentally, tell me, he asked him, where did you get the intuition to turn down such a seemingly valuable offer? This great rabbi is going to come and teach you the esoteric parts of the Torah. Why would you turn it down? And Reb Nachum told him that when he was a very young child, his mother passed away. And his father remarried, and his stepmother treated him very harshly. So he says that once when he came home from cheder, from school, to eat lunch, my stepmother was not home. And on the stove, there were fried eggs. And knowing the size of the portion my stepmother would usually give me, I took somewhat a smaller portion for myself. So she came home while I was eating and slapped me. And I asked her, what have I done wrong? You were not home. I took even less than what you normally had given me. And her reply was, in Yiddish, and then I'll translate it in English, alein nevmenit. You do not take by yourself. So this episode, the rabbi is telling the Magid, taught me a lesson which remained with me throughout my entire life. That regardless of all my calculations, alone we do not take. So we're living in a dangerous and difficult time. There are floods of various isms and alien forces to Torah, to Jewish people, that threaten the very existence of Jews. So building Torah-inspired homes is a must for our future and security. However, one must always remember that the Jew doesn't do things alone, does not do things on his own. The homes we build must also be a home for God and in accordance with God's instruction. God blesses such homes with stability and durability. In other words, it's not for us to take and decide what we are going to do, like the people of Babylon. We're going to do what Noah did, the instructions that God gave us, and we're going to try and live our lives based on that. And with that, God will make sure that what we're going to be doing is going to be survivable. What we're going to be doing, we're going to do what we need to do, and God is going to give us the blessing to survive. So therefore, I give everyone a blessing that with that, we should run our lives. But make sure that God is part of that as well, that we do not take alone. God is with us all the time. And with that, we will be successful in everything that we do. And that is why Noah was successful, and the Babylon tower builders were not.
Beautiful.
So we Friday night and Shabbat morning services. Friday night we have service at 6:30. Shabbat morning service is at 9:30. Sunday morning 8:30, followed by breakfast. And Monday morning at 7:15, and Thursday morning. And again, if there's any Jewish students out there that are not part of our Facebook group and are not in the know of Friday night dinners, classes, so on and so forth, please join our Facebook group, Chabad Jewish Student Center of Windsor, and you will be in the know, and you will be part of your extended Jewish family on campus.
Rabbi, I want to wish you a happy weekend and Shabbat Shalom.
You too. We'll talk next week.
God willing.
Okay, be well.
Bye-bye.